Are you thinking about starting a business? Does your business need a loan or investors? Are you ready to grow and succeed? Then you need to call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Call Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. at 470-238-9097 for more information or to schedule your free business consultation.
Good morning. Welcome to today's Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp is a full-service business consulting firm that provides business plan creation and review, marketing plans, marketing implementation, process automation, accounting services, and now business technology strategy consulting and implementation services. I'm honored today to introduce the CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp and co-host of Strategic Insights Radio, Jennifer Ruse. Jennifer is a serial entrepreneur and award-winning consultant with over 20 years of marketing, business ownership, and consulting experience. Today's show will be a bit different format than a normal Strategic Insights Radio segment. Today we will have three members of Sterling Rose Consulting team. I would like to introduce our other two guests, David Wilkins and Bob Lample. David comes to Sterling Rose Consulting Corp from a long and distinguished business and entrepreneurial career, working with companies such as Whitridge Associates, IBM, EY, PricewaterhouseCoopers, among others. And of course, I would like to introduce the newest member of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, Bob Lample. Bob is a member of the Georgia Association of Accountants and Tax Professionals, of which he was the statewide president. Also, the National Society of Accountants, the National Association of Certified QuickBooks Pro Advisors, the National Advisors Network, and he is currently an ambassador for the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce, as well as a member of the Suwannee Business Alliance. Bob has an MBA with an extensive background in accounting, having 30-plus years' experience in the public arena as a corporate controller, accounting manager, and treasurer for small to large companies covering several industries in multi-state environments. He serves as a board member of numerous companies for both profit and not-for-profit entities. And in his spare time, he performs with Festival Singers of Atlanta and the North Winds Symphonic Band. Jennifer?
Thank you, Trey. And thank you both, Dave and Bob, for being on the show today.
And thank you. It's great to be here, as always. It's nice to be on this side of the mic for a change.
And thank you for having me on today.
Well, before we get started, I wanted to first welcome Bob Lample to the Sterling Rose Consulting Corp team officially. We're truly excited to have you on board. Thank you for joining our family.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad to be a part of your Sterling Rose family.
So today I wanted to talk to you both about how you came to Sterling Rose Consulting Corp and why you chose to work with us. And for our listeners, I wanted to provide a little background on our two guests and two newest members of the Sterling Rose Consulting team. I'll start with Dave Wilkins. I first met Dave at a Gwinnett Chamber Business After Hours event just over a year and a half ago. We began speaking about the marketing needs for his business and set up a meeting to begin working together. Ironically, Dave was a client for more than a year before coming to work with Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Dave, what compelled you to become part of the company?
Well, There's a lot of things, actually, but I think that if you really wanted to narrow it down, it was the things that really impressed me were the attention to detail, the focus on client service, and really being able to deliver results. I mean, everything was held very professionally, the transparency in terms of working with Sterling Rose made it very impressive. And I was also very impressed with the desire to grow, how Sterling Rose wanted to grow, how they wanted to expand their services. And when I decided that it was time to shut down the other business and get back more into the technology side, the business technology side, as I had always been, that you know, that was happening to be an area that you were interested in as well, as in Sterling Rose. And so you know, it looked like it was a great fit. And so those were the primary motivators.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the division that you're taking over or actually is really formalized within Sterling Rose Consulting Corp?
Right. Yeah. The strategic business technology is a very innovative approach. Excuse me. It's really focused on helping clients, helping enterprises, whether profit or not-for-profit organizations, really get the best benefit out of their technology. You know, it's all about technology's every place, and everybody's using technology to some degree or another. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the question is that technology driving increased revenues, helping you manage costs, improving productivity, and improving customer service?
So how are you doing that for clients?
Well, what we do is we help clients understand where they are with their technology. We'll assess the effectiveness of the technology and coming up with specific measurements, ways to measure how well the various pieces of technology that they're using are really delivering the business value. And to the degree they are, that's great. To the degree they're not, you know, then that's where we look to help them improve. But we look at it more than just looking at it from a piece of technology as, you know, a software product or whatever it happens to be. But we look at it as really a comprehensive approach. It's the people, it's the processes, and it is the technology, how they all work together to really drive the expected business results.
So what kind of business results or benefits are you trying to bring to the client?
Well, a lot of it has to do with reducing the overall cost of technology in many cases, because a lot of corporations, a lot of businesses, and not-for-profits for that matter too, spend a lot of money on technology, but not necessarily wisely. And they know that it's not necessarily that they don't even know that they're spending it ineffectively. So that what we do is we go back and we really focus on what are the core business needs, making sure that they've got a good business strategy in place, how well the technology and the implementation of that technology is aligned. And ultimately, at the end of the day, with most organizations, if you look at the results of technology, you find that the vast majority of projects fail or fail in one respect. Either they're grossly over budget, very late, or never are completed successfully. And the reasons why is because they never get started correctly. And in many cases, they're never the whole project never gets implemented correctly. So what we do is we help them identify the weaknesses in their system development and implementation lifecycle and help them find the problems earlier. And when you do that, you can dramatically cut the cost of an implementation.
I know that one of the things when we go out to clients sometimes, or even partners and or previous clients of yours as well, one of your favorite sayings about how you ended up with Sterling Rose,
audience? No, that's a good one. There's an old Remington Shaver commercial, Victor Kiam, when he was I think he was one of the first CEOs that actually did his own commercials. And you know, his statement was, you know, I like the product so much I bought the company. So in my case, I say I like the company so much that that I bought into the company.
Well, I'm glad that you did. I know that bringing the technology side is a little out of the original scope of our business to one extent. I mean, we always did some custom CRM and ERP solutions. We never really announced that heavily. Even though we did have some larger clients underneath that space. Do you feel that it was a synergistic move for you?
Well, yes, very much so, because so much of Sterling Rose's business and client focus is on growth, helping businesses become successful, starting successfully and growing successfully. And obviously the focus has been on business planning, marketing planning, and so forth. But the one area that was missing, and the one area that really is going to help companies in many respects implement their business plans more effectively and implement their marketing, is having the right technology in place to do that. And so that's where I see where it becomes it's more than synergistic. It's a magnifier really in terms of helping clients be successful.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I mean, I think that one of the things that when we tried to put Sterling Rose together, right, was to create a full platform for a client, right? A small, not just a small business, but any size business to come into and work with us and be able to have a full service where we're reaching the needs to help them in any kind of growth plan that they're doing, whatever that may be, whether they're a startup that's just getting off the ground or whether they're a larger corporation launching a new product or division or looking at the option for an M&A. So, I mean, we wanted to make sure we had the components in place to be able to help them. And I believe that, you know, the technology is a huge part, especially in this day and age, trying to get that moving forward. So I thank you for coming on board.
Well, it's great to be here. And it's been actually been a real pleasure and most enjoyable. And I always look forward to doing these radio shows.
Thank you, Dave. Now, Bob, you come from us from a very different place. You were a competitor. Well, actually, you were our largest competitor in Gwinnett County. Though from the first moment I met you, which was nearly 2 years ago when we first started with Gwinnett Chamber, you actually met with Vlad and I, and we sat down for coffee at a Panera, if I remember correctly, and nearly sat down for about 2.5 hours and talked about how the Gwinnett Chamber could help us and how, you know, how even being a competitor in your favorite word, coopetition, right? How everybody within the community can actually help each other. And that was one of the major draws for us actually moving forward with the chamber at the time. Here's my time to thank you for being one of the first people to ever sit down with Sterling Rose Consulting Corp and now actually work with us.
Thank you. I really am proud to be with you because I was, first of all, as in the spirit of coopetition, I was proud to be able to refer clients to you because I knew that you would take good care of them. And our mutual goal was to help the client, not necessarily ourselves, but we wanted to help the client to succeed. And I saw that in what you were doing. I loved your business model. I considered doing that same business model myself. My business model is to basically do everything myself. And one of the drawbacks of that business model is you literally have to do everything yourself. And I enjoyed the accounting side of it, obviously, on the financial side. But the other sides of the business, other parts of the business plan that go into it take an awful lot of research, and things are changing so rapidly. That was one of the drawbacks of me doing everything myself, which is why I like your company and what on the outcome down the road we're going to be doing is I'll be focusing on the financial side and everything will be going on the other side to the people that are more competent in doing that side than myself. But it was a really great business model that you had, and it's worked out really well for you, and I'm really glad to see that for you.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, one of the things that I've known since you start in business and you think you know everything, right? But over years, you figure out you definitely don't. But what you do figure out is you surround people who do have specialties in different things. Mm-hmm. And when we created Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, we found the people that had those specialties and really brought them all together to play a part and make it more of a collaboration between us rather than a one piece fits all for everybody. And it's actually made a very custom look and feel to everything that we provide. And it also gives our clients a great deal of insight into every aspect of their business because we have people who specialize in those different aspects. So we have people who are accountants. We have people who have financial modeling and analysis experience. But we also have the marketing and market research experience people. We have people who just deal in logistics and operations. We have people who just came out of retail, just came out of pharmaceuticals, just came out of tech. You know, so they bring all that to the table that allow us to actually leverage, you know, current knowledge. And one of the things we always did from the very beginning was we promote education within our own organization. So we actually require a certain amount of hours of educating our staff. They have to come and tell us what classes they want to take for the year and actually have to go through with that. And every member of our staff, of the regular staff, is actually in Toastmasters. That's a requirement of them being a staff member. So the whole idea behind it is I want them to, and I want everyone within our organization to continue to grow and to continue to learn. And that's kind of where we always had that internally.
I have heard many times people say, or experts say, you should never stop learning.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, everything changes, especially nowadays. I mean, everything changes so fast. Yeah. When you talk about the technology, the marketing, the branding, the operations of a business, I mean, process automation.
And one of the things that's changing so rapidly, especially, is the marketing side. Mm-hmm. What worked yesterday doesn't necessarily work today.
No, but that's because of the merge of technology and marketing. I mean, it really changed the entire scope of that. And that does change how a business plan has to be written as well. Because at the end of the day, marketing is a huge component of any business.
Absolutely.
So the question for both of you, after all these years of experience working with small business and large corporations, what are some of the main pain points and reasons that these businesses use consulting firms?
Well, our experience, and I say our experience is because I've having worked for a number of different large consulting firms over the years, is there's a lot of reasons. A lot of them, some of the primary reasons are the fact that the business, the client, doesn't necessarily have the right skill sets in place to do what they want to do, whether it's new technology or process improvement, whatever it happens to be.
Can you define the skill sets you're talking about?
Well, skill sets in many cases could be the specifics, the specifics of change management. Change management is a large driver for what most organizations are looking for. And they're looking for people who can actually help manage that process. Now, so what is change management? Okay, so the fact is every organization recognizes that there's something not right, and they got to make some improvements in order to move to that next level. And what change management really is the process of identifying what are the issues, how to make the improvements to move to that next level, and put in place a step-by-step process to make that happen. You know, everybody talks about, well, we're going to make a change, but if a change isn't done in a controlled fashion, then that's where you run into a lot of problems. And so that's what we really do is that's what change management really is really doing, executing a change, defining what needs to be changed, defining the solution for it, and then executing that in a very controlled manner.
And it applies to every department.
It does.
I mean, so it addresses every part of operations for the business, from the accounting, from the marketing, from the business standpoint, from the human resource standpoint, from capital gains standpoint. I mean.
Well, that's right. And then the technology side, we were just talking about technology. Again, it's always advancing. And so that's, again, one of the areas where maybe the skill sets just aren't up to speed within the client. And they're looking for somebody can come in and help them with that new technology.
And I, too, you're spot on what you're saying on that, Dave. And I, too, have owned two companies over the last 18 years. One was an accounting company with 350 clients at one time for about half of that time. And the other half was a business planning company. Probably several hundred business plans over those years, every size imaginable, a couple of them in the multi-billions, and another one that will be there. But one of the biggest things I find when I meet with clients initially is they may have a great passion about what they want to do, but they oftentimes don't have a clue as to what to do about it and how to control it and what to do, because definitely one thing that can really kill a company is too rapid growth that's mm-hmm. not contained and not properly
not controlled.
Done, controlled. And but also they don't know what to do, how to start it up properly, put the systems in place that are needed to be done, to do the proper marketing. And there's a whole slew of steps they need to actually do before they open their doors. And there's also a number of steps that they need to do after they open their doors, and those steps are actually repeated constantly. And a lot of people don't really know those steps, and they can skip things and really kill themselves down the road because they can get into trouble. But putting systems in place, doing the proper marketing, and just implementing the plan properly going forward is the biggest thing I see that they usually don't know how to do.
I know that one of the other things that I see on a marketing side, because I come from that marketing background too, is that a lot of times they have a perception of their product and they love their product. They know who their customer is going to be for this product, and they are totally off the mark, right? Because what they think the product should be used for is not what everyone else perceives the product of being. And so it's interesting to watch when I see a lot of customers come to us and they tell us how, and I love the passion of entrepreneurs. I love that mm-hmm. fire that they all have, when that excitement for their product and their service that they all have and that business that they're going to be launching or have already. And they sit there and going, I don't know why this is not going to sell or this is going to sell to this particular person and this is why. And you look at the product going, well, I don't get it. It's not that I don't get your product. It's like thinking of it as that person, I would never get that.
Sometimes you need to rechannel their thought processes and to make it something that is viable and working properly so that the customers see it too.
Exactly. And a lot of times it's like the nice part of a consultant on the outside, and what I always thought was a great thing to have as a consultant, is that ability to look from the outside in. Because anything, you get tunnel vision inside your own company.
Absolutely. It's very common. They can't see the forest for the trees, as they say.
And, exactly. So yeah. It's one of the things that I always thought bringing to the table is a great thing to bring to the table to any company, is that outside view. And that's why I even promote having, you know, people having business coaches and having leadership coaches outside. There are always things that you can improve.
Absolutely.
And so having, you know, the idea of consultancy is not... I mean, for a period of time, right, during a recessionary period, especially at the beginning, the word consultant had a bad connotation, right? It meant you were out of work. So every time you went to a bank and you opened an account for a business that was consulting, they're like, oh God, no, we're not going to even open it. Won't bother. You won't have any money. It's done. That's not what a real consultant is, right? A real consultant.
Not the good ones.
No, it's not the good ones. A real consultant is one who comes into the mix and brings a level of experience mixed with a level of actual education and knowledge and a proven track record. At the end of the day, you want someone who has failed but also has succeeded and can teach you from the good and the bad, because you can learn from those failures as well as those successes. And a lot of times you actually learn more from the failures than you do the successes.
One of my favorite quotes I saw recently was one by Thomas Edison that said, I didn't fail. I just found 10,000 ways that didn't work. We finally found the right way.
Exactly. I mean, I've never known anyone who has succeeded on their first try and made it a billionaire. I mean, hey, maybe if you won the lottery, but it's really a billion one shot on that one. But the reality is really working through something. You're going to fall down. It's a question of what you do when you fall down and how you use that knowledge to build yourself back up. And I think that's where having that consultant to come help you and come back in, I think, was one of the key components of why I think this is such a great industry that we're in.
It's absolutely right, because you're going to fail. That's why they have erasers on pencils. But the main thing is that you learn from those mistakes and don't make the same mistakes over and over again.
So I know I read one of the things from Bloomberg, you know, one of their favorite quotes is that 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs who start businesses fail within the first 18 months of business, and a whopping 80% crash and burn totally. You both work with a great deal of businesses. So do you agree with these statistics?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
It's just so true. And number one reason, of course, is they run out of cash. And I understand that, because a lot of times when I first meet with a client, I ask them what they think they need in the way of cash to start their business. And like the home repair project that takes twice as long to do as you thought it would, the cash required is usually twice as much as they thought it would. And so eventually they do run out of cash right off the bat.
Well, and not only that, but it's also that they don't necessarily get the right advice.
Yes.
and have the right people helping them as they get started. Because it was interesting. I heard an interview just several weeks ago. I think it was Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. And she made a comment. She says, when I came up with my idea, I didn't go and share my idea with my friends and relatives, because they'll all come up with a million reasons why it won't work. But I kept focusing on coming up, working, identifying the issues with it and working it until I got it to a point where I felt successful. And I think it's the same thing from a consulting perspective. You know, there were, as a businesses, why many of them fail is because they don't have that independent advice. They keep it internal. They end up focusing so much in terms of working in the business as opposed to working on the business that they lose the direction. May never have had the right plan in place to get started. And because, again, if you don't have a good plan, you don't know where you're going. You know, any path will get you there. And many of those paths can be pretty brutal.
Well, I mean, the fun part for us, right? So all three of us have been on the corporate side of the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then all of three of us made a decision to leave it and become entrepreneurs ourselves.
Yes.
And when you first made that decision, what was the reaction of everybody?
Why did it take so long to do that?
That was your reaction. Yours. I can tell you that was not the reaction of my family.
No. Yeah. Mine was, are you sure you really, have you really thought this thing through?
Oh, yeah. I got that too, though.
Yeah.
I got more of, are you crazy? What are you thinking? Like, how are you going to eat? How are you going to live? That was the reaction I got. And I mean, I come from a family that has the history of 40 years with a one corporation,
yeah,
or going into an industry that you never change in the industry, right? My you know, my parents are in the ones in the medical field, so that you are, once you're in the medical field, it's one of the few fields that once you're in, you really are in. And then the other was just, you know, he was with the same company for 40 years. And the idea of even being that I came from the tech side of the world too, I was all over the world working for different corporations and then deciding to give it all up, the steady paycheck that I had, and go into something that may not ever work. And that I had no background in whatsoever to do. And it actually scared my family half to death, to be honest. But it, and I know that's a reaction that a lot of our clients all have, right? They, one of the things that I know that people don't realize in small business that actually causes them to fail too is the support or the lack of support that sometimes they get. Because there's a big drain on your family and on your personal life when you become an entrepreneur.
This is true. And I do see several other factors on why companies fail too, that David mentioned several of them that were on my list, but a few others that I've noticed is that they may have a great plan, but they have to implement the plan.
Oh, very much so.
And then also the
I put it up on a shelf and it collects dust because I never actually follow it, even though I put it together in the first place, that
exactly.
one.
It may not be totally carved in stone, but it is a guide to use. And certain obstacles may come up along the way, and that's when you evaluate whether to go that route or what was in the business plan, and if it makes good business sense to do it, yes.
Well, but, I mean, look at Groupon, right, as an example. When they first started out, they were a political site. A business plan is a living, breathing document. It is not the end-all, be-all, and it will change.
Yes.
And you have to understand that, and you have to keep going back to it and looking at the numbers, looking at it. It is a guide, but it's a guide that should take you to that next level, that you go and do the revisions so that you take it again to that next level strategy. You should be following suit on that.
Well, and it's not only just having the right, you know, it's Bob's point, not even just having a good plan, but it's also recognizing that as an entrepreneur or a small business owner, you know, you can't do everything. You're not going to be skilled in everything. And you need to recognize your strengths and your weaknesses and focus on your strengths and find somebody who can help you address the weaknesses, cover the weaknesses.
And I tell people all the time, you've heard me many times say the business plan, if done properly, is your blueprint to build the company and your nav system to run the business over the next several years. But they also have to have other things happening to make it successful, such as I see a lack of leadership sometimes by the owner or the managers that cause failures, or they don't necessarily understand the market or pricing strategies. They need to fill that void for the needs for the clients too. Some of them don't really do that. But those are some of the other things and along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, I see the other things too. Like we actually met with a potential client last night.
Yes.
And it was very funny because he already had a business. But it wasn't even established properly. And we run into that a lot where they think, okay, we look online and we can figure out, oh, wow, yes, I can start a business. And these are the steps because this is what Google tells me. And yes, there is a great deal of information on Google. Some of it's good, some of it's not. But you really, really need to understand that you cannot do it yourself, that there are parts that you're going to have to outsource. And trust me when I say, even though it costs money to do that, it's going to cost you a lot less to get that done properly than if you make a mistake.
Or not get it done on time.
Correct. So, I mean, those are things that I watch with companies and how they fail too, because they think they can take it all on and they miss a step here or there, or they don't file a tax that they're supposed to file. And then the IRS or the Department of Labor, come after them, or there's a document that's missing that needs to be put in place. I mean, these are all little things that you have to, have to understand and have to do as a business owner. And no business owner, as a good leader or a good business owner, right? You know, you walk in there and you know you're not going to have 100% of that information to make a decision. At best, if you are lucky, you'll have 60%. And then you hope to make the right decision. And if you don't, you fix it after you're done. And you have to go into that leadership and management position and that head of a company knowing that you're not going to know it all, and you can't wait to know it all, because by then you're going to miss your window to get whatever you need done right.
No, absolutely. Because another mistake some companies make is they need to set up an advisory board, because that way the decision is mutual as opposed to one person's decision, that if it's a wrong decision, then can come down pretty hard against the company.
So right now, we're going to end right here, and we're going to actually pick this up in another session. But thank you guys both for your time today. I mean, it was a great back and
forth. Is always fun. These are fun types.
Yeah, thank you for having us here too.
All right, thank you, Jennifer, Dave, and thank you, Bob. This was Strategic Insights Radio discussing the importance of business consulting as it pertains to success of a business. For more information about Bob Lample or David Wilkins, call 678-892-8528 or visit their website at www.sterlingrosconsultingcorp.com or contact Jennifer Ruse of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp directly at 470-202-9097.